Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
So points being handed out to the Michelin Endurance Cup runners. And just waiting for the clock to come down. 9 seconds to go. Precious little green on the timing screen for quite a while, Jeremy. So no improvements to anybody's fastest lap. Settling in for the run to the flag at this stage. And I would suggest that the air and track temperature perhaps not conducive to getting the faster laps in right now.
Well, yeah, you're right. There hasn't seen much green or purple, have we? But they are still lapping very close to their fastest times. So, you know, most of the cars are within a few tenths of their best lap. GTD, perhaps a little bit more off. They're probably about a second off their best. But when the front runners have clear track, they're lapping in, you know, low tens or mid tens. 1:10.5 last time around for Felipe Nasr, 1:10.2 this time around as he goes across to complete the 8-hour mark in the lead of this race to get maximum points then for the number 31 team.
And Shea Adam can give us the update on the Michelin Endurance Cup and the points awarded. Shea?
In DPI, the lead is still belonging to Ryan Gravandazanda and Ryan Briscoe. They have 28 points, but now up into second, Felipe Nasr, Philippe Albuquerque, and Pippo Durrani with 26. In third is Scott Dixon on 24. And then in fourth place with 33 points is Oleg Jarvis, Tristan Nunez, and Olivier Poix. In LMP2, Simon Trummer has 38 points versus Colin Brown with 30. And in GTLM, bit of an interesting battle unfolding. Jesse Krohn and John Edwards have 34 points. They have the lead. In second is Augusto Farfus on 28. In third, Earl Bamber and Lawrence Vantor with 27 points. And in fourth is Fred McAvecky and Nick Tandy on 26. GTD, we have 33 points for the Sellers-Snow-Lewis combination. Now in the second is still Farnbacher, Machini, and McMurray on 24. In third is Andy Lally, John Potter, and Spencer Pompelli with 23 points. And then in fourth is Cooper McNeil, Jeff Westfall on 21 points. But this is basically the gaps that came in at the start of the race. Nothing has changed after 8 hours of racing for GTD.
Just shows, doesn't it, how close the battles are and how kind of regular the order has been, although we've had plenty of chopping and changing. When the pit stops arrive, 38 laps in for Aaron Tielitz, who leads the GT Daytona class, then in the number 14 Lexus from Alessandro Balzan, who is 15 laps fewer into his stint in the 63 Ferrari, and Alvaro Parent can go even deeper, having pitted a lap later than the Ferrari in the 57 Heinrichi Racing Acura NSX GT3. Then you've got Jan Halen, who took charge of the 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche in its last stop when Pat Long got out. Madison Snow now driving the 48 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini Huracan. But that is likely to change again during the next phase of pit stops. GTD cars can generally do an hour, so they'll be lining them up to pit imminently, and then it'll be one more stop, all things being equal, to the flag. Meanwhile, the DPIs can look forward to a few more stops than that. The predicted race distance has extended out very slightly. We are now an hour and a half at green flag condition since the last caution, which was a little over 11 minutes in duration. So 4.58 is the predicted distance. Still a bit shy of last year's record, though, which was 465 laps. And Shea, car coming down pit road. It's a Lexus. This looks like the class leader.
It's Yes, it is. It's Aaron Tielitz, and I am happy with this. He's been out on track for 54 minutes this time, so no issues with the fuel, which makes me breathe a little sigh of relief there. Jack Cocksworth with the bright green helmet jumping off the pit wall, and they are doing four tires and fuel. So the lanky Englishman, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina, taking over the car for what you would imagine would be the final time. This should be Jack into the end of the race. Doing up the belts, making sure that the helmet is plugged in and everything is to his driver comfort level, and just waiting on the tire change to be completed right front. The car will drop off the air jacks now, as it does very gently, have to say. Good stop by the ABS crew. Very quick windshield tear off. That was impressive. A bit like a magician pulling out a tablecloth from beneath a full Thanksgiving spread. Fuel nozzle comes out. Jack Cocksworth leaves the pit lane.
Very smooth indeed from Aim Vassar Sullivan, sending their former class-leading car back on its way. 370 laps now completed. And look at the splits between the top three, Jeremy Shaun. It's almost changed again, because 2.4 seconds now, Felipe Massa to Alexander Rossi, and a larger gap behind Rossi back to Scott Dixon. This can only really be traffic.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly, that's right. There was a knot of traffic that Felipe Massa must have had to negotiate on that last lap. He turned a 1 minute 14, so he lost 3.5-4 seconds on that last lap. But now this most recent lap is 11.5, so he's able to extend the margin just a little bit. And I'm sure probably next time around, Alexander Rossi will have that same traffic to deal with in the number seven car in second place.
And in GTLM, about a 3 second gap, Jesse Krohn to Tonio Garcia. So BMW still leading Corvette, with in third place the best of the Porsches, Lawrence Vanthoor. Only less than a second between the two RSR 19s though. Vanthoor and Campbell might start to work together to try and reel in, well, at least the Corvette that sits in second position. And Tommy Milner more distant, about half a minute the deficit for the second of the vets to catch up. But as far as the pit stop cycle is concerned, Milner, well, due in first of the five GTLMs that still lodged together on the timing screen from 12th down to 16th places overall. 2.5 seconds again, 2.1 now for Nasser to Rossi. So I'll be expecting that car, those gaps to just extend a little bit when Rossi has to deal with the traffic that the Whelan car has managed to side its way through.
I think he's just had a bit of run through the traffic, because they're both in the tens that last lap. Johnny Alexander Rossi, 1:10.2, a really good lap for the IndyCar ace. Scott Dixon, he hit the traffic at 1:12. For him, as we see the number 48 car. It's a little bit disappointing for them. They wanted to pick up more points for the Michelin Endurance Cup. They were in fourth position, so they gained nothing on anybody else during that last sequence, during this, you know, when the points were just given out. But that car onto the pit lane, out of, well, is now third place, with the number 14 car having pitted a couple of laps ago.
Yeah, so new race order in GT Daytona briefly is Alessandro Balsan for the Ferrari gang, the Scuderia Corsa entry, and then the 57 Alvaro Parent Acura up to second. Jan Halen for Wright Motorsports is in third with the 12 car. The other machine at Vassar Sullivan, the Carl Kirkwood driven Lexus RCF, now running in fourth position. More cars on pit road, Jay Adam.
That's a 31 Whelan Engineering Cadillac coming down the pit lane. It is still Felipe Nasser behind the wheel. I would imagine they would save Pipo Durrani for the end of this race. Fuel and tires, I would not expect to see a windshield tear off. I believe they did that the last time they came into the pits. Clean stop so far. Also into the lane is the number seven. It's Alexander Rossi staying aboard for another stint behind the wheel of the Acura Team Penske DPI. Waiting on fuel at this point. The tire change was done well before the 20-second mark. Very good stop by the Penske organization. Still waiting on fuel for the Cadillac. The Acura is moving first. Now the Cadillac gets going. That was a better stop for the Acura than the Cadillac.
So, can it jump that number 31 car in pit road? Not quite, but you spot on, Shay. The gaps come down, and they're going to leave the pit lane almost as one. The one car that didn't stop on that lap was the 10 of Dixon. So we'll wait.
They're staying out for a while, yeah.
Yeah, you reckon? Okay.
Yep.
Dixon has done 27 laps, I make it. 28 lap stints for Nasser and Rossi.
Oh, and finally, Montoya has found a way past Loic Duval. That'll be a relief for him, particularly with the pit stops coming up. Hopefully, he can, for him, from his perspective, he can maintain that.
Yes. So the six Acura DPI now getting ahead of Loic Duval in the Mustang Sampling Racing Cadillac. Loic Duval busy in Europe with a DTM campaign and also European Le Mans Series. The two clashed actually the other week, which meant he wasn't able to be at Monza last weekend for European Le Mans Series, but hoping he can be back for the final round, Frenchman. So Montoya now up to second place by virtue of the pit stops for Nasser and Rossi ahead of him on the road, and Dixon ticking off in a moment or two, lap 375, with a lead over Montoya of nearly half a minute. But it's a question about really when Dixon comes in, where's he going to feed back into the mixture compared to Nasser and Rossi? Will this, relatively speaking, clear air pay dividends, and can he leapfrog one or even both of those cars? That might be too much of an ask. Car very quickly heading down the hill from underneath the bridge is the number 14, so former class leader in GT Daytona, and that car back into the race now with Jack Hawksworth at the wheel, with Zachary Robichon pitting ahead of him. So that'll gain one place for the 14 Lexus. Robichon in for Pfaff Motorsports.
That's early, isn't it?
We reckon that's early, Jeremy?
For the number 9 car, is it not?
Number 9, yeah. I just wonder whether they're back timing a little bit, because they want to get Dennis Olsen into that car for the final two stints. But well, we're now inside the final 2 hours, and these GTD cars can do 56, 57 minutes, maybe. But yeah, in terms of the pattern previously, what do you reckon, Shay? We off rhythm there?
How close was Robichon to his max drive time, 4 hours and 96? Because he'd done a lot.
That was something like a five stints.
Quintuple stint, yeah.
Indeed. Now, they weren't all the really long ones, because as we spoke about earlier on, there was a 14-lapper in the middle there, and then confusion around the two-lap stint as well. But then he did a 43-lapper, and now 27. And I think that bridges the gap, effectively, to Dennis Olsen, who'll be the one to get in the car.
Johnny, my timing screen is saying he stayed aboard.
Ah, okay. Now, I'm thinking that is an issue with the driver ID. Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, five stints in a row was questionable for me, but a sixth? No way. I think there's an issue there with the driver identification. Maybe a text needs to be sent to Pfaff Motorsports, Shay.
On it.
To get to the bottom of that. Meanwhile, more cars on pit road. So that will be the
Top two
together. So the 10 in as well, Jeremy?
Yes. The 10 is in, out of the lead, and the number 6 car came in behind him as well. So that's the last of this little sequence of stops.
Indeed. Now I'm fascinated to see where Ryan Briscoe, as it is going to be, gets back into the race. Where are Felipe Nasser and Alexander Rossi on the racetrack, as also being released Juan Pablo Montoya down pit road, that the second of the Acuras goes and will rejoin just after turn number one. So Montoya triggering the timing loop at the end of pit lane. Felipe Nasser working 377 currently. Another pit stop from the LMP2 category is Colin Brown for the Performance Tech Motorsports outfit. But with an hour and three quarters still to go, what have we got? The rest of this stint, one more for DPI after that, and then a splash to get them to the finish. As darting through GT cars goes the 77 Mazda, both of the Mazdas hitting dramas. Unrelated, it was a big crash for the Ollie Jarvis driven 77 at the time. He hit the wall, and that meant that car had to spend a long time behind the wall in the pits to be fixed. And then 55 has had two separate issues, one hitting very early on, meaning that the car had to have pretty much a full brake change, which took it 7 or 8 minutes during Harry Ticknell's opening stint. And then it had further problems later on behind the wall for very nearly half an hour. So both the 77 and the 55's been recovering since then. Pla is 10th and 6th place in class in DPI. Jonathan Bomarito currently 11th. They're actually only separated by a little over 12 seconds though. As the 10 car rejoining from pit lane, trying to build the tyre temperature as much as possible and battling away with the GTLM car. That was the 911, I think. There may even have been some contact with Fred Makovicki. Oh no, it was off the road. That's why it was so slow coming. And there was another DPI car, I think, briefly on the grass as well. So that's probably the third time that the 10 car has virtually straight lined the sequence at corners 10A and 10B. Che.
I think that was the 24 BMW in front of it, Johnny.
Okay, so it wasn't a DPI at all. It was the BMW going off track too. So that's the reason why the 10 and the 911 were at such close quarters. And maybe the BMW led to all of that. Yes, it Crone, if it was him. Did you say 24 or 25?
24, I think it was the black one. And it does kind of look like a DPI in the night, so I give you credit for that.
Well, if you squint very, very hard.
Yeah.
118.5 does indicate a slower lap for Jesse Crone, but not quite to the extent of an off-track moment there. Maybe that was on a previous lap. Crone 3.5 seconds to the good of Tonio Garcia in the number 3 Corvette. Lawrence Vantor in the Porsche is third, Jeremy Shaw.
Did you say the number 10 car was off the road?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, okay, fine. Because that's lost, well, not okay, fine, but that explains why.
A slow lap, yes.
It lost a lot of time.
Yeah, because it was side by side with the 911 Porsche, and
yeah, right, okay.
I thought that the 10 car was overtaking the Porsche eventually because the tyre temperature was back up, but I think as Ryan Briscoe was trying to build the tyre temperature, he actually had a little bit of a tricky moment at turn 10B, effectively, and straight lined that portion of the racetrack. So retains third, but has lost an awful lot of time now to Nasser and Rossi. And leaving the Wayne Taylor Racing Cadillac out for a little bit of extra time, although it was always going to happen because of the way the pit stops have happened lately. That didn't give it the advantage at all. So still there in third. Threat possibly from behind as well. Juan Pablo Montoya is only 11, nearly 12 seconds away in fourth position. So 3.5 seconds for Crone back to Garcia. Six cars all together threading their way through turns 6 and 7. And there's a mixture of classes there. GTD toner cars about to be picked off by LMP2s, and right behind there is a DPI in the mixture as well, which goes to the right hand side of the GTs. Now going to pick off the LMP2 on driver's left and into the much more heavily illuminated turn 10A. It's quite a bit of floodlighting there, so you can pick out your braking point and the ideal turn in. Lamborghini heading over the rise is the 44 of Spencer Pompelli for GRT Magnus. That car running around in fifth position in GT Daytona, but very much in touch with Kyle Kirkwood in the fourth place for car number 12. Alessandro Balzan leads GT Daytona in the only Ferrari 488. In the field, actually. We haven't got any in GTLM, of course, and that's the only prancing horse in the GT Daytona category this year as well. 25 BMW onto pit road, Shea Adams. So this isn't the one that's leading the class, but they're trying to recover places.
They are still down in the sixth position, and it is Colton Hurta staying aboard the car, not getting out. Although Connor DeFilippi did do a very nice co-driver thing and gave him a new drinks bottle. So Colton at least will have something cool to drive and drink out there while he's driving. But to be honest, not entirely sure you'd want something cool with these temperatures. Might be better suited for hot chocolate. New tires and fuel going into the red BMW, just waiting on the fuel. So a good stop from Bobby Rahal's boys and girls. And away goes Colton.
And what about Pfaff then? What are they doing with their drivers?
They have taken Zach Robichon out of the car, according to Jordan Lesson, their team photographer, who said he saw Dennis get into the car. So that's a good change of things. But Zach Robichon, pretty sure he did four stints. We're just trying to follow up with them to find out if indeed it was four or maybe even five. It's into the pit lane, the other GTD Porsche. This time it is Jan Halen staying in the car, not swapping back and forth with Patrick Long as they have been doing for the last couple of pit stops. Fuel and tires for the right motorsport Porsche. And it looked like they maybe did the data stick change in that car as well. No, it would have been on the driver's side door. That's where it is in the Porsche. So just waiting on the fuel at this point.
Yeah, and all looks very relaxed down at right. The nozzle attached on the top of the hood, effectively, although, of course, a rear-engine car. But it goes in at a sort of 45-degree angle on driver's right-hand side into the nose of that machine. Plenty of fuel going into the right car, and now it's finally released, and 16 is back on the move again. An hour and 40 still to go. DPIs have just stopped. Well, 9-10 laps in to the stints for the race leader, who is Alexander Rossi. So, when did that happen? They're right together, aren't they, Jeremy? Yes, they are. Absolutely side by side. Wowzers, the seven car has got ahead into turn 10A. Last split, they were separated by 9 thousandths of a second. I thought something was awry there with the 7 all of a sudden ahead of the 31. And that is a true battle out on track for the race lead. Rossi upping the tempo, but Nasser not happy with that, wanting to repay the favour as soon as he can.
Yeah, there was some traffic somewhere on that lap. They were lapping 1:13.3 for Rossi. And it shows a 12.1 for Nasser. That can't be right, can it? Because Rossi passed Nasser, so something awry there. But yeah, we've got a new leader there in Alexander Rossi in car number 7.
Well, it's all happening now, isn't it? With just over an hour and a half to go, and we mentioned at the top of the show that the first phase of the race was very much just making sure you're going to be in the fight come the end. I would suggest the fight is properly sleeves being rolled up here, and the arm wrestle commences from this point on. So a great run from the number 7 Alexander Rossi Acura out of turn 7, effectively through the kinks at 8 and 9, and he had the slightly better position then into the braking area for that chicane just before the bridge. Rossi leading by 1.5 seconds in the number 7 Acura from Felipe Nasr. Chasing Ryan Briscoe, who dropped back because of that mistake at turn 10A, but he is starting to up the pace as well. A 1:11.3 last time around. That is 21 odd seconds away from the leading duo. And Juan Pablo Montoya may well have just started to find some true speed in the number 6 car as well. I'm just trying to work out where he is on the average times. 1:11.8 in a 8 lap stint is just about on the money, level pegging really with Rossi in terms of the laps he's produced. So the 31, thought about a move up the inside of an LMP2 car.
I think that was Colin Brown.
Could well have been Colin Brown. And that's the moment when Alexander Rossi then managed to sneak round that, effectively over the right-hand shoulder of the 31 car of Felipe Nasr. So Nasr, I thought, was just going to dart up the inside of the Colin Brown, the yellow and white LMP2 car, got out of the throttle, had to, because the line he was going to take was then taken by Brown just in front for Performance Tech Motorsports, and Rossi was close enough to pounce. They were then side by side again later on in the lap, I thought. So maybe that was Rossi. Now, they would know where they were going to be side by side then at the end of that same lap into 10A. So perhaps the battling just carried on for a couple of laps. And now Rossi has finally cemented his place as the race leader. Gap again, though, back to only half a second. So it is an up and down affair. After another slow-ish lap from Rossi, 113.5 compared to Nasr's 112.5. This is going to run and run for the next half an hour, certainly, you sense, because the Acura and the Cadillac carrying very similar speed indeed. 38 car, I reckon it is. Yes, yeah, so you're bang on, Jeremy. It is Colin Brown now separating those two cars. Good toe from Brown's car, and this surely will be Felipe Nasr's opportunity to get up the inside. He's going to have to run three abreast with the number three Corvette as well. But finally the 31 gets through. He needed to make that move sooner rather than later so as not to lose too much ground on Alexander Rossi. So Rossi starting to edge away. It is all about slicing your way through the traffic as quickly as possible. But if you're caught up behind an LMP2 car, the speed differential is not that large. And there was an opportunity there for Nasr, and he took it with both hands. Meanwhile, Shay, the class leader in GTLM is back onto pit road.
And we've got a lot of action down in the pit lane as the 24 BMW, you rightly say, into the pit lane. That was Jesse Krohn who brought the car in, but I believe that was John Edwards' helmet with the blue and the white striping on it, taking it back over to go back out on the track. We've also had two pit stops in GTD that have been very relevant. Jeff Westphal back into the 63 Scuderia, of course, Ferrari, and Trent Hammond into the 57 Heinricher Racing Acura. But a few moments before that, we had a very scary situation where a Lexus was leaving its pit box and unsafe relief nearly caused contact between the 912 Porsche and that Lexus. There's deep conversation going on with the pit officials right now as to whether or not it was an unsafe release. It resulted in the 912 overshooting its box and then the crew having to push him back. So it did compromise the race of the 912. Waiting to find out if that will be a penalty.
Thank you, Shay, for that VP Racing Fuel pit report. Coming down to 90 minutes. And these battles just continue to rage on. None more so than at the head of the field coming out of turn seven. Great exit from the right-hander onto the back straight by Felipe Nasr, who is chasing down the leader. My goodness, that Acura is quick in a straight line. And Alexander Rossi is not a man to be trifled with. He's trying to carve his way through traffic, this side by side. Oh. Round the outside into 10A. Oh, my goodness. Goes wide at 10B. But what a try from Felipe Nasr. That was audacious in the extreme. Man, I thought he'd pulled that off, to be honest, Johnny Palmer. And if he'd been a little less gracious, perhaps, and blocked past on 10B, he would have pulled that off. That was amazing.
Yeah, maybe. Just couldn't get the traction, though, I think, because he was off the racing line. He was out in the marbles on the outside of 10A and then found himself in the wrong position coming out of B because he kind of compromised the first bit of it, had to go around the outside and just didn't have the grip on the inside of 10B. So Rossi just blasted past him on NASA's right-hand side. But yeah, plenty more of that and I'll be a happy boy. Because,
Jeremy, let's just remind ourselves we've been racing for 8.5 hours here.
Yeah, that was absolutely incredible. And you just ran wide there. But I tell you what, that was an interesting pass because when they then going up through turn one up the hill into two and three, Rossi was able to get past a slower car. And all of a sudden, he's put a couple of more seconds in between himself and that and the Wheel and Engineering Cadillac.
Yeah, we'll have a bit more of that though if that's what's going to be to. Towards the end of the race, wherever you are in the world, around the US or further afield, thanks for joining us. Sirius 217 XM202 98.1 Road Atlanta FM at the track, and of course on IMSA Radio RS2 from the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Jeremy Shaw, Johnny Palmer, and a very excited John Heindorf, that's me, along with Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter, coming up. Got plenty to talk about already in Michelin Post Race Tech. Add to our agenda. You drive that show. Hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio for any questions, observations, points arising, etc. And still, this battle at the front of the field is absolutely on fire. It's hotted up as well in GTLM, where Augusto Farfus has Fred Makovecki right in his wheel tracks, and there's less than a second between those two and the number four Corvette at the moment is down in fifth position for Tom Milner. He's about 6 seconds, 7 seconds behind Lawrence Vanto, who's nearly 20 seconds behind Tonio Garcia, who's 6 seconds behind those battling pair in GT Le Mans. Still showing is Carl Kirkwood behind the wheel of the Ian Vassar-Sullivan machine. He seems to have been behind that car for a very, very long time, Shea.
He has, but he's coming in probably this lap around, and Townsend Bell will be taking over. My apologies. It wasn't a Lexus that had the unsafe release. It was a Mazda, the 55 Mazda. I've now seen a video of the incident, and it was a very close one. The pit officials are still discussing, and now they're talking over it with race control.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Kirkwood about to pit then. Jack Hawksworth, his teammate, in second. And in fact, into the pit lane comes Kirkwood right now. The Lexus coming good when they need to. First and second before this pit stop, which will be the penultimate pit stop for this car. It's going to be about a stint and a half shape for the number 12. That's the one with the blue LEDs over the top of the doors. And full service, I think, this time in.
It is, and that is the third different person that Townsend Bell has had to get out of the number 12 Lexus in the last week, because last week he was sharing the car with Michael De Quesada. So it was, again, somebody different. But Townsend Bell now strapping into his familiar home and just waiting. It looks like he's having a bit of issues with the belt, though. His helmet is still facing down, which is not typically something that happens after the driver change is complete. The driver tends to look up, get a good perspective of himself. But no, he's still looking down. I think there is some sort of an issue. Nope, now he's looking over to the refueler, and away goes Townsend Bell.
Yep, so that was nicely done. Nice to see Jeremy again. These Lexus, we said that they came into this event with a bit of momentum on their side, and hasn't always been the case, but running first and second there before the penultimate pit stop for that lead number 12 car, they're coming good right at the right time.
They are, aren't they? This is a fascinating battle. Well, in all of the classes, quite frankly, even LMP2. Scott Huffaker is still aboard number 52 car for PR1 Matheson Motorsports. He leads there by less than 9 seconds from Mikkel Jensen in a Tower Motorsport by Starworks entry. So a super battle between those two. Colin Brown remains, I think, four laps behind them in car number 38. And number 51 car is just a lap behind in the Inter-Europol car, that's car number 51. So great to see all four LMP2 cars. I won't continue that thought. In GTLM, the number 24 BMW, because everything I've said this weekend has turned to something nasty.
You and me both, partner. It's absolutely... we might have the cartoon hammer of Anvil of Doom between... never mind Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. It's Hindoff and Shaw and the Anvil of Doom that we've dropped on everybody we've talked about in every single... single race.
It's bizarre. I tell you what, I was telling Tammy this morning, it's just ridiculous how often it's happened this weekend. But with that number pit stop for the number 12 car of Ian Vassar-Sullivan has handed the lead back to the sister car. Then Jack Hawksworth leads that now in GTD by about eight and a half seconds over Jeff Westfall in Scuderia Corsa Ferrari. Then quite a long gap back now to Jan Halen in third position. That actually just on a slow lap, 125 on that last lap for Jan Halen. Not quite sure why that would be.
Didn't see a problem with that, Jeremy. Johnny was keeping his eye open
He was slow across the start finish line, no doubt about it. Lost a place to Trent Hindman as a result. It just didn't seem to quite be up to speed with the 57, the Acura that's now slotted into third place.
Although mistake coming out of turn or down through turn 12,
quite possibly.
Momentum, maybe.
Quite
it
possibly.
Will show up at that part of the circuit. You don't have to make a big mistake, but if you're out of the throttle there for any time, you're going to get somebody's going to jump on you from behind, aren't they?
Yeah, good point. Just want to make sure that I read that correctly with Hindman now ahead, actually. We'll call them across the line in a moment or two.
My timing screen hasn't updated that quickly, so
no,
yeah.
Well, there was definitely a 57 car in the vicinity, and it looked like that car got into turn one ahead of the 16, but timing screen's saying otherwise, so scratching my head a little bit there. Anyway, Jack Hawksworth, yes, that's confirmed now. I knew I wasn't seeing things. So 57 now ahead of 16, and the order, Lexus, Ferrari, Acura, then two Porsches from Wright Motorsports and Pfaff Motorsports with Dennis Olsen at the wheel. And Olsen now confirmed with a bit of confusion as to whether Zachary Robichaud was going to go for a sixth stint in a row. That was a driver ID glitch. And the team have confirmed that Dennis Olsen got on board for a double stint to take that to the chequered flag.
And he's
I think Yalen must have a problem, chaps, because there's another very slow lap there for the Wright Motorsports Porsche. That's two in a row, isn't it, Johnny, I think?
Yeah.
Asking Kelly.
Right, we'll get to that. Kelly Brule. Yeah, he's slow on the start, finished straight again, going up turn
That's what I saw originally with the 57 car going up the inside.
Slow. Nearly gets wiped out by the 31 that was coming through into turn one. I think Jan's got some kind of issue there because he was moving around on the track as well. And my goodness, how Felipe Nasr missed him. He was charging up to the back of that car and just didn't realise, I think, that he was going so slowly. The leader is still Alexander Rossi. Just under 2 seconds between first and second position. And Nasr through the S's in behind the Inter-Europol P2 car. Slips to the left-hand side going down towards turn at number six, and Jeremy equally close in LMP2. Well, near enough, anyway.
Well, now we're just over 5 seconds, I think, between Scott Huffaker, who still leads number 52 car from Mikkel Jensen in the number eight for Tower Motorsports by Starworks. So that battle is heating up really nicely inside the final, well inside the final 90 minutes of this race now.
And we don't change ends at half time either, it's all the way through. This next 83 minutes that we've got to go, all the teams back timing to the end. There will have been for some time. There's only points to come now are right at the end of the race. Now, whatever was ailing the right Porsche, Jan Halen is either driving around it or he's found some work around. Down to a 121.6 last time around. Shea Adam, what are the teams saying?
Yeah, I checked in with the team and they said the car is okay and that everything is all good. Now Jan's gotten back up to speed. Don't know what caused him to slow down though.
Yeah, it was 12 seconds he lost in two laps there, Jeremy. That must have had them worried, and that's backed him right up to Dennis Olsen, who's just 0.3 seconds behind now in the other Porsche, the Pfaff Motorsport machine.
Wow, that's good to see then that car back up to speed again. Jan Halen still in the fourth position, and that's now pretty much a three-car battle between the 16 and the 9 and number 12 of Townsend Bell, who was in the pits, just came out of the pits a little while ago. In GTLM, Lawrence Vanthoor, number 9, 12 car, has fallen back a fair bit in the fourth position. The number 24 BMW leads by less than 2 seconds from Fred McAvecky. The Corvette in third place, that slipped back to 8 seconds. That's lost about 3 seconds over the course of the last half a dozen laps.
Don't like to see anybody having troubles at this stage of a race when you've done, nearly at 9 hours of a 10-hour race, eight and a half hours plus. I kind of want to be rooting for everybody and getting them to the end of the race. If there's going to be changes in position, that's fine, but I want to see that on the track, Johnny, rather than some ailment of car. Mistakes from the drivers under pressure, I understand that, but I don't want to see something random, like rolling a double six in the old Grand Prix rerun. Take a incident card. No, I don't want that to happen. I want the race to be decided by either talent or forcing somebody into making a mistake. And keeping the pressure on, actually, is really important at this stage.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't forget that all these cars, well, the leaders anyway, have done just over 1,000 miles now. 394 laps was the distance for 1,000 miles. So we're north of that now. And, you know, considering there is that much distance under the wheels of these cars, you're then asking them to go faster than they've gone before, potentially.
This,
you know, this is the point where you unleash the shackles and go, right, show me what you've got. So this is where mistakes can start to happen. This is where mechanical dramas can start to happen as well with reliability.
Jeremy, a moment or two ago when we were talking about Jan Heerlen in fourth position for Wright Motorsports, I mentioned that the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche was right in his wheel tracks, which means that that Dennis Olsen-driven car has made a position, actually, recently.
Yeah, he got past the number 12 car of Townsend Bell, I think just maybe a couple or three laps ago, just after, two or three laps after Townsend Bell had pitted. So, yeah, number 9 car has really put the two Porsches running absolutely nose to tail there and battling over fourth and fifth position. Heerlen's still ahead of Olsen. And he will see if he can maintain that. Certainly, look at his lap times last time around. They were certainly good. This is a new fastest lap on the race, by the way, in the GTLM category for Fred McAvecky in the second place Porsche car number 911. He's got that gap. It's not been very much. It's now down to 1.3 seconds only between the BMW car number 24, Augusto Farfus, who's driving that car right now, and the pursuing Porsche.
Hello to Simon Tibbett, who has driven back home to catch up with the end of Motul Petit Le Mans, seeing and hearing what is happening at the moment. Thank you, Simon, for tuning in. Just what you were saying, though, Johnny, end of the race, and McAvecky pulls out the fastest lap of that car, indeed of any car, in the class. I mean, this is endurance racing nowadays. You have to be able to, if required, particularly in the pro classes, somebody gets on the radio and basically turn in something pretty close to qualifying performance for maybe 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 laps in a row.
It's turning an endurance race effectively on its head for the years and years that you'd spend, you know, doing the opening hours to try and extend the gap and then nursing the car in the closing hours. You're doing exactly the opposite here, trying to just look after the car in the early stages and make sure that it is in a state to fight in the final 90 minutes. And, you know, no quarter asked or given as we enter close in upon the final 60 minutes of this race. That's just amazing for the Frenchman, Frenchman Fred McAvecky, I should say, to produce the fastest lap within class as he tries to close in on the class leader, Augusto Farfus. He is toying with being able to use the toe now from that BMW M8 GTE.
And Jeremy, it's not just in the GT Le Mans class. There are other people who've been given, as Johnny said, taking the shackles off, because the number 63 Ferrari with Jeff Westphal behind the lead, he's on a tear at the moment as well.
Yes, he is. He's absolutely flying. He's halved the gap to the number 14 car, which leads Jack Hawksworth. The gap on lap 352, I noted, was 8.5 seconds. They've just completed lap 359. Well, it's gone down a full second on that last lap. It's now down to 2.5 seconds only between the number 14 and the number 63 in the battle for the lead in GTD. That Ferrari is quick. It got a bit of a performance break a couple of races ago, but then it wasn't at the last couple of races. And they've come back this weekend and they're taking advantage of those tweaks, and the car is running super quick. Jeff Westphal qualified on the front row of the grid, and now he is chasing down Jack Hawksworth at a pretty rapid rate.
That's another one to keep an eye on. So let's just go through this after nearly 9 hours of racing. Rossi leads for Acura at the front of the field by 1.4 seconds. In LMP2, the gap is 1 second exactly between Hufaker and Jensen. Farfus leads by 1.9 seconds over McAvecky, and Hawksworth leads by 2.2 seconds over Westphal. I mean, GT Daytona not trying,
terrible.
Absolutely. let 2. the side 2. Down. Wow.
That's a mammoth gap. Come on, boys.
It's
only gone out to that 2.2 in the last couple of laps because it was 1.3 yeah. just a couple of laps ago.
If you add all those together, that's what? It's about 4 or 5 seconds. Let's call it 5 seconds. That's the total gap between first and second in all 4 classes. And this is, remember, an endurance. I accept we've had intervention by safety car and full course yellow 4 times for just under an hour, actually, in those 4 times. But dare I say it, we've been green for 2 hours and 11 minutes now. By the way, 461 laps now being predicted by the software because of this extended green flag period. And coming down not too far away, Jeremy, in the next 15, maybe 20 minutes for the GT cars, will be getting into their window to make their last pit stop. So that's something else we've got to start thinking about. Who can get there and who can't? Makovecki, he's not going to be able to do this on one more pit stop, I don't think, because he's 26 laps into his stint.
I think he'll be able to do it with one more pit stop, won't he?
I don't think.
Well, I think you're probably right. That's the car that's certainly worst off.
Correct.
By 9 laps. The car that's best off is number 24 car that stopped a couple of laps later than the number 9, 12 and the number 4. I don't think the number 4 is really in it. That's some way back. Certainly... It's far from over in GTLM, but 24 car certainly is in a very strong position. It was the last car to pit, and it leads.
It's almost Halloween, so let me paint a scary picture for the competition on the DPI pit wall. It's nighttime. There's a car that has a chance of a lead. It's been very strong all day, and it's just had Pippo Durrani installed behind the wheel. Good luck to the rest of you. That is the ultimate jack-o'-lantern. Pippo Durrani with sticker, Michelins, and a bit of fuel. An hour and 14 minutes to go in this race is into the pit lane now, following Pippo's or Felipe Nasr, who brought the car in. Following his lead, it is the number 7. So this is Alexander Rossi bringing the car down the pit lane. He has done a double. I would expect him to get out and hand that car back over to Ricky Taylor for this final race to the checkered flag. Ricky, who has seen the checkered flag first 3 times in the last 3 races, 31 laps completed for this prototype. And indeed, Ricky Taylor getting back behind the wheel. Fuel and tires for the Acura, as also pit lane is pulled around 38.
Thank you, Shay. Just losing Shay at the end of that. But that, Jeremy, means that one more pit stop for those DPIs that they will be able to get to the end of the race. So that works out pretty well for them. And with an hour and 13, an hour and 12, yeah. Absolutely. They should be able to go at the end of the race with one more pit stop.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So they've timed that just about right. Those two, the 31 and the 7, are then kind of the first cars to pit. The number 7 car, though, went a lap longer on that stint than did the number 31, which might or might not be crucial in a little while's time. We'll have to wait and see how that one plays out. But it's certainly a really, really interesting race.
31 laps each for those two leaders, but it's mostly down to the time now that we are watching. It's Jeremy Shaw and Johnny Palmer with me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shay Adam is our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Report. And by the way, that unsafe release, Shay, what happened? What was the payoff for that earlier on? It was being looked at for quite some time by the pit officials and race control.
A warning was issued for the 55 Mazda for improper pit lane protocol.
Okay. Well, that's there's been a number of warnings handed out over this race weekend. And following a little different way of perhaps doing things, but I like that. Everybody knows where they stand. So at the front of the field, cycling back to the top position again, Jeremy. Another lead change, and once again, it's the number 10 car. And eventually, they're going to get a wee bit of an advantage with this somewhere. They'll have to come in this lap round or the next one, but their last pit stop might be a bit shorter. Side by side, coming down through turn 6 into 7, and that will be the battle for the lead, and the over and under done by the 31 car, and that's the Pipo Durrani on Ricky Taylor.
Got him,
got through, and Paul's right in front of him. Did the Montoya move? Remember, he did that at Petit Le Mans last year and actually ran into somebody. They're still side by side down towards turn 10. The 31 stays on the outside and this time makes the pass. The Pipo Durrani made that one stick that Felipe Nasi couldn't do, was pushed to the outside really early as Jordan Taylor got to the left-hand side of the track and held his line there so the 31 car couldn't block. That's very forceful driving early on in the stint by Pipo Durrani. That, I would say, Jeremy Shaw, has put down a marker for the last 70 minutes of this race.
Yeah, no question. It's a fabulous battle between these two now. Pipo Durrani against Ricky Taylor. I think they were probably...
Oh, just lost you there, Jeremy. Are you there?
Big upon, yeah. It's so tight between these two, isn't it? 31, number 7 car. I think we're going to see Pipo Durrani and Ricky Taylor battle it out to the finish now. Absolutely nose to tail.
Had we just started this race, that would have been impressive. And we would have been saying, come on, lads, remember, you've still got, you know, 9 hours and 52 minutes to go. We've got an hour and 10 minutes to go. That means we've been racing for 8 hours and 50. But those drivers, and more importantly, Johnny, the machinery looking as fresh as when they rolled off the truck on Wednesday at the promoter test day. And putting in tremendous entertainment. This is what Moto Petit Le Mans is famous for. This is the kind of action and drama that Road Atlanta produces time after time.
And isn't it so good that it's now a 10-hour race rather than the 1,000 miles?
I would have been finished by now.
Had this been 2009, the race was done in 8 hours and 44 minutes. Yeah, when Frank Montagny and Stefan Sarrazin took the victory. So at least we've still got another hour and 15 minutes, or just less than that now, as the extension, which will take us up to something like 1,160 miles completed eventually. But yeah, just brilliant entertainment considering how much distance both of those cars have already covered. Pipo Durrani and Ricky Taylor get on board their mounts as fresh as daisies and start the battle, which we can enjoy for another 60 odd minutes.
And through will go Pipo Durrani to take the lead on the timing and scoring screen, actually, rather than that being the battle for the lead, if you will, in waiting. Because we have had the pit stop, Shea Adam, for the Whelan, for the Konica Minolta car that's allowed the Whelan Engineering Cadillac and the Acura Team Penske cars to go back through into the lead. And it looked like full service for the black number 10.
It was full service. And you might have heard my explanation of surprise. Ranger Van is in back behind the wheel of that car. So that means Ryan Briscoe only did a single stint before giving it back over to Ranger van der Zande, who took over after doing a double. So that's an interesting change of plans. I thought they were going to leave Ryan into the end of this one, but no.
I think Dixon was in last time. I think Dixon did the previous stint.
I haven't seen Dixon in the car since Ryan did the first 3 stints, and then Dixon did 2. That's as much as I've got for Scott Dixon.
I think he was in for the previous stint before Ryan, actually. But
yes, he was. He was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Dixie was in the car from lap 347 to 376, but Shea is right. We only had a single stint from Ryan to get to Renger, who presumably will double to the end now. And it will be with, they came out with 67 minutes to go, so I think there's no problem with those guys going full rich all the way to the end. Just a sensational maneuver though by Pipo Durrani, got the pass done coming out of turn 7 and then tried to defend, but couldn't get to the inside. And we know how quick the Acura is in a straight line. We've seen that, and we've seen time and time again down the long black straight the Acura being able to drag back past people or pull away from people. So the only option that was left, Johnny, was for Durrani to tough it out on the outside going down into turn 10. Not optimal, and Nasser tried it and then ran long in 10B. Durrani tried it, pulled it off.
He did, but he was also reliant on Ricky Taylor checking the car up more readily than he perhaps needed to, actually. He could have forced that issue a little bit more, but Ricky Taylor, well aware that he could have had the nose of the Acura chopped off there. I'm not saying it wasn't Durrani's corner, because he did arrive into 10A slightly ahead, but Ricky really needed to get more so on the brakes to avoid contact and then make sure that he stays with Durrani. They're still circulating completely together. Less than a second separate the two leaders on lap 411.
And Shea Adam, the two battling at the front of LMP2. Well, 52, Scott Huffaker into the pit lane.
And we'll be staying in the pit lane because Simon Trummer has taken over that car, this car which won the race here just a couple weeks ago, now involved in a hammer and tongs battle with the number 8, a car that didn't even participate in the race a couple weeks ago. So it's Mikkel Jensen out there still. We'll be going to battle against Simon Trummer. Good luck to both of you.
Yeah, and Jensen had taken the lead from Scott Huffaker 4 or 5 laps ago, and so he will just carry on from there. The number 52 car, the number 8 car is still out on the racetrack. Number 52 car just pitted right. Huffaker handed over that car to Simon Trummer. Mikkel Jensen was already in the lead, and he will be onto pit lane in a few laps' time. Probably about 5 or 6 laps time, actually.
It's a fabulous run from Fred McAvecky, by the way. He's getting very close to being able to get to the end on one more stop. I wasn't certain he would have enough fuel in that Porsche number 911. He's about, I think, 5 laps away. He's coming to complete his 36th lap. So I reckon he's going to have to go 40, maybe 41 laps before he pits. And I think that's just about doable. Really good job by McAvecky, because he's keeping the pace on. He's dropped a little bit further back from Farfus than he was, but we're only talking a matter of 3.5 seconds off the leader at the moment. And he needs to make about another 4, maybe 5 minutes to get just under the hour to try and get to the end. Remember that you don't just stop the race when the clock gets to zero and everybody freezes their position. It's when the leader crosses the line after the 10 hours has elapsed. Now, that's fine, because you know where you are if you're the leader of the race and you're in the DPI car. If you were GT Le Mans, GTD or LMP2 car, your position relative to the leader is going to be very important. If you're just ahead of the leader when he crosses the line, that means you've got another lap to do.
Yeah, and so easily a 10-hour race can be extended by, well, as much as 3 minutes, quite possibly, depending on which class you're in.
Correct.
That could be when the lead change happens as well. So
happened before.
Indeed.
Yeah. It really has happened before. Jeremy, coming down to the last 60 minutes, your thoughts?
It's brilliant. I mean, it's all happening, isn't it? We didn't see the change in LMP2, but it did happen. Number 8 car moving ahead of the 52 and will require less fuel on its final stop than the number 52 car, so certainly advantage now to Tower Motorsport by Starworks. In GTD, we also didn't see that number 14 Lexus has lost the lead to Jeff Westphal. We documented Westphal catching him. He has now made that pass. I don't think we talked about it. If we did, I was concentrating on something else.
No,
but now Westphal is in the lead by 3 seconds over Hawksworth. Trent Hindman is up into third place in number 57 Acura. Well, he remains in third place because he passed number 60 car a while ago. But he's now a full half a minute behind the top two.
Yeah,
Trent
coming
in column 57.
And those cars, of course, coming into range for their last pit stop as well. Jack Hawksworth will be the first of those leading cars in GTD to pit. He's on his 40th lap of the stint, which means he's been out there for a little over 53 minutes and probably do another 3 or 4 laps, which will take him inside the last hour, which should mean he can get to the end. Everybody else has a far better look on the fuel. Jeff Westphal, for example, only 25 laps into his stint, as is the Heinrich Racing Acura and the Wright Motorsport Porsche. We should be getting Paul Miller Racing in as well, sitting down in sixth position very shortly. The Pfaff Motorsport car, probably another five or six laps. So I think they'll all get down to somewhere near the 52-53 minute mark, which is certainly achievable by a GT Daytona car. Still waiting to see when the GT Le Mans cars blink. Never a bad thing to get your last pit stop off first. It's all pretty even at the sharp end of DPI field, with Pipo Durrani and Ricky Taylor only a lap apart on fuel. Renger van der Sande two laps better off than those two. Yeah, check that, three laps better off than those two. And two better off than Dane Cameron in the six Acura. And also Tristan Vautier as well, Jeremy.
Who is charging hard, Dane Cameron, in that fourth position. He's closing in on Renger van der Sande, who is slipping back just a little bit now from the two leaders. So it's still Pipo Durrani and Ricky Taylor. Nothing to choose between those two as they go through the turn 10 and turn A one more time. This will be the 415th time they've gone under the Fox Factory Bridge and are still turning quick lap times. Last time was a 10-6. This one 11-0 for our race leader.
Yeah, so in between 460 and 461 laps is the predictor. And obviously, it has to be one or the other. I would go higher at the moment on that. We'll see in another hour. Well, very, very interesting right throughout all of the classes at the moment. So in LMP2, Mikkel Jensen coming to the end of his stint as well. So Huffaker has already stopped, but will have to make another stop before the end, as will Jensen. So I reckon both of those cars have got to make one more stop before the end of the race. The question will be who's in the best fuel situation, Jeremy, for that last stop.
Yeah, no, the number eight car, I think, still has to make two stops.
Sorry, yes, he's due in. Sorry, my apologies. Yes, I didn't expect
in the next few laps. Yes,
he's due in probably the end of this lap, I would say, and then one more after that should get him to the end. Trummer's already been out there for what, three, four laps. That was when the lead changed over before those two, when those two were so close together. 1 hour to go, 60 minutes for the 2020 IMSA Petit Le Mans, Motul Petit Le Mans at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Durrani by half a second at the head of the field, and the run to the checkered flag is next.